Family, I want to thank you so much for the honor to be able to speak at your mother, grandmother, aunt, great aunt's funeral. Greg, you did such a good job reading that wonderful legacy of names. It did sound like a genealogy from the Bible. What a legacy. All the children, grandchildren, it's tremendous. And we're here tonight to remember and to honor Eva Roberson, but also to look at hope. And what is hope? It's the love of God. And so I'm doing what gives hope, turning our attention to the inspired Word of God, the Scriptures. And we're going to look tonight at this subject, the wonderful love of God. Because in this time of need, we need to understand who God is and something about His wonderful love. Let's pray and ask Him to give us understanding. Our Father, we thank You for Your faithfulness, for Your love and mercy. Thank You, Lord, that Jesus is the Good Shepherd, and He will indeed carry us through the valley of the shadow of death, and yes, He'll carry us through death itself. Thank You that when we know Jesus, death is a graduation. It's an emancipation from the shackles of sickness, dementia, sorrow, and that a child of God leaves this earth to go to be with the Lord, the presence of the Lord. I pray that that comfort will be present here tonight, that Your Spirit, Father, will take the Word of God and bring hope and strength and comfort. Bless this dear family. We pray for Gregory, for Alvin, for Anthony, for Stephen, and all the family, extended family. Encourage each one tonight, and Lord, show them hope through the message of the gospel, through the Scriptures. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 3 has a wonderful prayer, and I'd like to read this prayer to you. Ephesians chapter 3, he says in verse 14, "For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God." What a wonderful prayer that we would know the love of Christ. God's love is absolutely wonderful and totally beyond our comprehension, and yet He wants us to know it. He wants us to grasp it. He wants us to revel in it. He wants us to allow its power to change our lives. The hymn writer said, "Oh, love that will not let me go." I want you to notice, first of all, that God's love flows from God's perfection. John 3:16 is the golden text of the Bible. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Let's stop with the second word for a moment. For God. About whom are we talking when we say God so loved the world? We're talking about the God who is full of power. The God of Genesis 1:1, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and earth." This wonderful love comes from the God of all creation who has total power. This wonderful love comes from the God of total holiness. Isaiah saw the Lord lifted up, and he heard the voice of the angelic beings cry out, "Holy, holy, holy." God is full of holiness, total holiness. His love emanates from His holiness. Not only that, His love comes from His wonderful wisdom. Paul says in Romans chapter 11, verse 33, "Oh, the depth of the wisdom, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. The God of the Bible, who loved the world so much, has total wisdom." And not only that, in the book of Revelation, we see Jesus not only as the Lamb of God, but we see Him as the Lion. He is Lion and He is Lamb. The Lion represents the justice of God. And indeed, God is holy, God is just. And one day, Jesus is going to come to this earth. He's going to be riding on a white horse out of the glory of heaven, the armies of heaven following Him. And what is His name? Revelation chapter 19. "Out of His mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it He should strike the nations. And He Himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He Himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And He has on His robe and on His thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." He is total justice. A God of total justice. That is the God who loved the world. Not only that, He is a God of majesty. He is high and lifted up. He's exalted. There's no one like He is. There's no one that's a match for the God of the Bible, the God that so loved the world. The Psalms speak about the majesty of God. And in Psalm 93, we find this: "The Lord reigns. He is clothed with majesty. The Lord is clothed. He has girded Himself with strength." The Lord reigns. I want to say that in 2019, in the face of death, this truth comes from the Scriptures. Our God reigns. He is a God of total majesty. And isn't it amazing then that He loved us? God so loved the world, and He's a God of total sovereignty. Psalm 95 and verse 3 says, "For the Lord is the great God and the great King above all gods." But I'm so thankful for this, that though God is total power, total holiness, total wisdom, justice, majesty, and sovereignty, that He is plenteous, plenteous in grace, in mercy, in compassion. Praise the Lord that He is so gracious toward us. As a father pities his children, Psalm 103 says, so the Lord pities those who fear Him. God's wonderful power and majesty, He comes to humble Himself, to die on the cross so that we could be saved. That's what it means, for God so loved the world. God's love flows from God's perfection. There's another truth I want you to notice tonight. It's from the book of Romans. It's this: God's love is not based on merit. You see, sometimes we can demonstrate conditional love. We might say to a son or a daughter, to a grandson or granddaughter, "Honey, I love you if... I love you if you do this. I love you if you perform in such a way." God so loved the world, not based on any merit of ours. Not at all. He loved us unconditionally. Romans chapter 5, verse 6 says this: "For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates His love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." God's love is not based on merit. You see, God did not love you. God did not love me because we were so wonderful before Him. No, the Bible describes us here, every single one of us. It doesn't matter what color we are. It doesn't matter what language we speak. It doesn't matter whether we're rich or poor. It doesn't matter about any of those things. The Bible says about all of us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Scripture says here, when we were without strength. That's God's unmerited love. We were without strength. And not only that, it says we were ungodly. And then the Apostle Paul gives a closely reasoned argument. He says this, scarcely it's possible that someone would die for a righteous man. Here's a law-abiding citizen, he's righteous. We're not moved to die for someone like that. He says, perhaps for a good man, for a good woman, a good person, we would be given to give our life for them if they were good, they did nice things, everybody loved them. He says, but that's not the way it works with God. God demonstrated his love toward us. We weren't righteous or good. Well, we were sinners, and Christ died for us. That's how God's love is demonstrated, not based on our merit. You see, friends, there's not enough good things that I could do or you could do to get to heaven. The Bible says, by grace are we saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Let's say that in some years we meet Sister Robertson in heaven. She asked us, how did you get here? And we get all proud like a peacock, and we say, well, I never missed a Sunday of church. I gave money. I took communion. I was even baptized. I helped people all the time. And I'm here because God just couldn't help himself. He had to let me come here. And then we look at her, and we said, how did you get here? And she humbly bows her head, and she says, I'm only here because of the love of God and the blood of Jesus that died for my sins. You see, it's by grace. It's not by our works, or we would boast. You know we would boast. It's by the grace of God. God's love is not based on our merit. He loves us while we were yet sinners. And then the third truth is this about God's wonderful love. God's love sacrificed Jesus. For God so loved the world that he gave. What did he give? He gave his only begotten son. To what did he give him? To a cruel cross as a sacrifice for our sins. God loved us so much that Jesus became the sacrifice for our sins. There's a little plaque that some Christian bookstores have. Maybe you have one in your house. And it shows a cross, and it has these words, I asked Jesus, how much do you love me? And he stretched out his arms and died. That's how much. God's love sacrificed Jesus. The Apostle Paul referenced the humility that we should have toward one another. And he gave the premium example, Jesus himself. In Philippians chapter 2, listen to these wonderful words. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it a thing to be grasped, robbery, to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a servant, and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross, or indeed a cross death, a shameful death, a death that was vicarious, substitutionary, on behalf of sinners. That's the love of God. He sacrificed Jesus, not for any sins that he had committed, but for my sin and your sin, the sin of the world. Praise God for that wonderful, wonderful love. You know, it's interesting when you witness to folks on the streets. I've asked this question as I shared the gospel, especially if I have a picture of Jesus hanging on the cross, and I'll say, how many of Jesus' own sins was he dying for? And almost without exception, the man, the woman on the street will say, none. He didn't have any sin. Exactly right. Why was he hanging there? My sin, your sin, the sin of the world. God's love sacrificed Jesus. He humbled himself, became obedient to the point of death, even a cross death. There's something else. God's love keeps. It keeps. Once we are bound by the cords of love to the Savior, once we've trusted Jesus to forgive our sins and to give us eternal life, it is absolutely impossible to be separated from the wonderful love of God in Christ. God's love keeps. I love these words from the Old Testament prophets. Jeremiah 31 and verse 3. The Lord has appeared of old to me, saying, "Yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn you." My friend, I never come to a funeral without realizing how short life is. A few years ago, a senior saint at East End Baptist Church went to be with the Lord. She was 99 and a few months years old. I also had a funeral in years past in another place of a tiny baby that was maybe a week old or 2 weeks. And whether an infant passes or someone almost 100 years or over 100 years old passes, I know this, life is short. And God blessed Sister Eva with almost 87 years. Praise God for every year, for every day. We can't take a day for granted. The Bible tells us not to boast about tomorrow because we don't know what a day may bring forth. And so I hasten to say, if you've not trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, now is the time. Now is the time. And when we are bound to Jesus in those cords of love and we're trusting Him, relying on Him completely, we can never be separated from that wonderful love. Not even in death. Death is just a graduation to glory. God's love keeps. The book of Hosea says, "When Israel was a child, I loved him. And out of Egypt, I called my son. I drew them with gentle cords, with bands of love." Is God drawing you with his gentle cords tonight to the Savior? To point you to the Savior who is Jesus? If so, don't turn away. Don't resist him. Say, "Lord Jesus, I know I need you. I'm asking you to save me." Lastly, God's love will not be exhausted. The passage we began with in Ephesians chapter 3, Paul's wonderful prayer here, says something that might seem contradictory to us. He says that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ. God wants us to know His love, the width, the length, the depth, the height, to know that love. But then He says this, which passes knowledge. How can I know that which passes knowledge? How can I know that which is unknowable? Well, it's not unknowable in that I can't experience it, but I will never get to the end of it. I will never exhaust it. It will never run out. It will never stop. The love of God is inexhaustible. It does never finish. It doesn't stop. It doesn't come to the last page. I can never say that I know all there is to know about the love of Christ, but I can know it. I can experience. You can experience the love of God for you this very night. God's love can be known. God's love cannot be exhausted. But when we know God's love, it brings us closer to a fuller knowledge and appreciation of that great God that we began with as we talked about for God, the God of total perfection. He says here, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. God wants us to know His love, that we may know Him better. We come to a time like this, a time of death. It's a time to know that the love of God is strong, that His arms are strong. I have in my mind a picture where a big, stronger man than I as a child was out in a lake. And this big, strong man was holding me, protecting me, keeping me safe. I wouldn't drown. That picture comes to my mind when I think of the love of God. God's wonderful love. He can hold us up. He can strengthen us. He can protect us. I ask you tonight, will you know the love of God? Will you receive it as your own? God's love flows from His perfection. God's love is not based on merit. We don't earn it. We don't deserve it. God's love sacrificed Jesus. God's love keeps and keeps eternally. And God's love will never be exhausted. Have you received the love of God? The Bible says that we all have sinned. A, I need to admit that I'm a sinner. B, I need to believe that God sent Jesus, that Jesus died on the cross, that He was buried, that He rose again the third day. That's the gospel. The death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And that He died there for me. I need to be able to say with the hymn writer, my faith has found a resting place. Not in device nor creed. It is enough that Jesus died and that He died for me. If you haven't trusted Christ as Savior, will you do so tonight? Admit your sin to God. Believe that God loves you and Jesus died for you and rose again. And call on the name of the Lord and be saved. Don't complicate it. The Bible promises, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. And if you've trusted Christ, oh, you can be encouraged in life and comforted in death because God's love never, ever stops. Let's bow together in prayer. Our Father, we thank You for Your wonderful love. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Dear Father, You know every heart here today. You know our needs. And we pray, Lord, for Your comfort, for Your help. But Lord, even more than that, I pray if there's anyone who's not yet believed on the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, that this very night they would call on the name of the Lord and be saved. Could I take just a moment with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, no one looking around? I'd just like to ask a question. Would you like to receive the love of God, to know Christ as your Savior tonight? Would you just raise your hand? Say, yes, I want to be saved. Yes, amen. Anyone else? I want to know the love of God. I want my sins to be forgiven. When we make our way over to the repast, I invite you to just come and say, I raise my hand. I would love to show you from the Bible how you can know your sins are forgiven. Our Father, we praise You for Your grace, for Your goodness. And I pray, Lord, for Your comfort to this dear family. I pray, Lord, that You will fill the void that will be present in their homes. I pray that they will appreciate the memories that they have had, their mother, grandmother, aunt. I pray, Lord, that they will know the peace that Jesus gives, and most of all, they will know Your wonderful love. I pray, Lord, that You'll take Your word and speak to our hearts as we have need, and glorify Yourself in us, we pray. In Jesus' wonderful and loving name, amen.